We're going to turn this evening in God's Word to the book of 2 Thessalonians, in the latter part of the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Just reading the chapter through in its entirety, beginning our reading at the verse 1 of the chapter. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Let us hear the word of the Lord as we read it together this evening. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God, and into the patient waiting for Christ. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort, by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. We'll end our reading there at the end of that chapter. And our prayer is that God will bless this reading of his eternal and inerrant word to all our hearts. Now, the verse I want us to look at this evening is verse 5 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Let me read that verse with you again. It says, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." The hymn writer could say, "Oh, for a heart to praise my God, a heart from sin set free, a heart that always feels the blood so freely shed for me. A heart in every thought renewed and full of love divine, perfect and right and pure, a copy, Lord, of thine." With these words, he was really expressing his desire as a believer for a right heart before the Lord. And this was also the burden of the Apostle Paul for the Church of Christ at Thessalonica. Hence he says these words in our text in verse 5 of 2 Thessalonians 3, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." As Paul brings this letter to a close, you will see that he desires the prayers of God's people for himself and his fellow laborers in the gospel. Look at verse 1 and verse 2 of the chapter. It says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." Then expresses his confidence that these believers at Thessalonica would continue on the Christian pathway. Look at verse 3 and verse 4 of the chapter. He says, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." And we have confidence in the Lord touching you that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. Then in verse 5, our text, he prays that their hearts would be directed into God's love and into the patience of Christ. He says there, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Paul wanted these Christians to be at their best for God. And he knew that this would only be so if their hearts were right before the Lord. Therefore, he prays this prayer for them in verse 5 of the chapter. Indeed, we can say it's the same for all God's people, whoever they are and wherever they are to be found. If they are to be bright and shining lights for the Savior, then they must have a right heart before the Lord. Their heart must be filled with God's love. Their heart must be fashioned by Christ's patience. Yes, we can say that a right heart is crucial. You see, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 and the verse 23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And it's for this reason that I want us then to look at this verse which deals with a right heart among God's people. Yes, our text says, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. There are a number of things I want you to notice here just about a right heart. Notice first of all with me the meaning of a right heart. A right heart for the believer means their heart being directed into the love of God. Our verse says, the Lord direct your heart into the love of God. This means the believer's heart dwelling much upon God's love. And child of God, this must be the direction of your heart. Yes, speaking of the Christian life, it has been said that love is the oxygen of the kingdom of God. There is no better theme to contemplate in your heart than the love of God. In Psalm 36, verse 7, the psalmist says, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Yes, his heart was taken up with the love of God. And child of God, this is how it must be with you and I also. Also, in thinking about God's love toward us, we can say that it is central to our salvation. You think of what is said in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If it were not for God's love through Christ, then believer, you and I would never have been saved. And we can say also that God's love is a love that is without measure. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19, the word of God says there that the love of Christ, that it passeth knowledge. In other words, God's love toward us through Christ is really a notion of love that can never be plumbed or fathomed. No doubt the hymn writer had this thought in mind when they said, oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling like a mighty ocean in its fullness over me. Also, God's love toward you and I who are saved is a love that is eternal. Think of what is said in verse 3 of Jeremiah 31. There it says, the Lord have appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Christian, God loved you in eternity past, before you were born. And he will love you throughout all eternity to come. You think of the little children's course. It says, God's love is like a circle, and a circle has no beginning or end to it. Then it can also be said that God's love is constant. In Malachi chapter 3 in the verse 6, God says there, for I am the Lord, I change not. Yes, the love of others toward us will change. Our love to others also will change, but no change Jehovah knows. The Bible also reveals that God's love for us is a love that is inseparable. You think of the words of Romans chapter 8, verse 29. There it says that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Believer, there is nothing in this life, not even death itself, that can ever separate you from the love of God. Dear Christian, it is the same wonderful love of God that you are to think upon, that you are to dwell upon, that you are to contemplate in your heart and in your life. This is what Paul had in mind when he said to these Christians, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God." This is what it means to have a right heart. But then it also must be said that a right heart for the believer further means their heart being directed, as it says in our text, into the patience of Jesus Christ. Paul goes on and he says here, "The Lord direct your hearts into the patient waiting for Christ." In the original language of the New Testament, that phrase there, "patient waiting for Christ," it literally means "into the patience of Christ." In other words, Paul wanted these believers at Thessalonica never to lose sight of the patience of Christ in their life. And Christian, it must be the same of you and I. If we are to maintain our right heart, we must dwell much upon the patience of Christ. Believer, remember the patience that Christ displayed in your redemption by his death upon the cross of Calvary. Turn with me in your Bible back to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 53. And look with me, please, at verses 4 to 7 of that chapter. It's all about Christ's death upon the cross. And my, you can write over that passage of Scripture, the patience of Christ in redemption. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 53, verse 4. The prophet here is speaking of Christ. And he says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth." There you see the patience of the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect patience of Christ, going to the cross of Calvary to redeem us from our sins by his death upon the cross. Yes, on the cross of Calvary, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, he could have called 10,000 angels to slay his enemies, but he did not. He was patient. He endured the cross and the shame of the cross, so that you and I could be redeemed from our sins. O child of God, remember the patience of Christ at Calvary. When he cried out upon that cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When he cried out upon that cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then also, child of God, think of how patient the Lord was in your own life in drawing you to salvation. He did not leave you to perish in your sin, no, but he was patient with you. Perhaps you have heard the gospel from the earliest of days in your life, yet the Lord was patient with you. And in his patience and long-suffering, he drew you in faith, he drew you in repentance unto himself for salvation. Over in 2 Peter chapter 3, in the verse 9, there it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Dear believer, think of how patient the Lord was with you. Think of his long sufferings toward you. When you're unsaved, when you're heedless and careless and indifferent to your need of Christ and your need of salvation. Yet the Lord stretched out a scepter of patience and long suffering toward you. By his mighty grace and by his mighty power, he did not leave you to perish in your sin, but he drew you in faith and in repentance unto himself for salvation. And then also, dear child of God, think of how patient the Lord has been with you since you were saved. Yes, since you were saved, there have been many faults, many failings, many shortcomings, but the Lord has not cast you off. He has been patient with you. It says, a bruised reed shall he not break, a smoking flax shall he not quench. Indeed, with the psalmist in Psalm 103, verse 10, you can say, he have not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. How patient the Lord has been. Oh, dear child of God, this is something of the patience of Christ that your heart is to dwell upon, that your heart is to consider. Yes, we see the meaning of a right heart before the Lord, a heart that is fixed upon the love of God, a heart that is fixed upon the patience of Christ. But notice, secondly, here from our text, notice the accomplishment of a right heart. Look again at what Paul says in this verse. He says, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. You notice those words there, the Lord direct your hearts. You see, Paul knew that it was only the Lord who could touch the hearts of these Christians in the church at Thessalonica. Thus he prays here that God by his Holy Spirit would direct their hearts into the love of God and into the very patience of Christ. And believer, it's the same for you and I also. It is only by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, that our hearts can be directed into God's love and that our hearts can be directed into the patience of Jesus Christ. Therefore, this is something we must earnestly pray for in our own life, indeed in the life of our fellow believers in the Lord. In the book of Proverbs chapter 21 and the verse 1 there, the word of God says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. And there we read of the Lord turning hearts, and he is the one that can direct our hearts into the love of God, into the patience of the Lord Jesus Christ. You think also of the prayer of the psalmist David in Psalm 51 in the verse 10. He prayed, create in me a clean heart, O God. O God, renew a right spirit within me. He knew the Lord could touch his heart. And the Lord could turn his heart. Highlighting the power of the Lord, Thomas Brooks, the great Puritan preacher and writer of a bygone day, said, God hath in himself all power to defend you, all mercy to pardon you, all grace to enrich you, all righteousness to clothe you, all goodness to supply you, all happiness to crown you. Therefore, child of God, the Holy Spirit has all the power to direct your heart and my heart into God's love and into Christ's patience. You think of what is said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. There it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, and faith. Notice the mention there of love and the mention also there of long-suffering or patience. Thus we see here how a greater awareness of God's love toward us and Christ's patience toward us can be accomplished and wrought in our hearts and souls by the mighty power of God, the Holy Spirit, within our hearts. In Romans chapter 5, verse 5, the Word of God says, "The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that is given unto us." In John's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 13 and 14, Christ tells there how it is the work of the Holy Spirit to reveal the things of Christ unto His people. He says there, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you." There Christ speaks to His disciples about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, showing unto them, revealing unto them the things of Christ, even the love of God in Christ, even the patience of God in Christ. O believer, it is God's will that your heart be taken up with God's love and with Christ's patience. Therefore, pray. Pray daily that this would be wrought out in your heart by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Pray also for your fellow believer, your fellow child of God, that this also would be wrought out in their heart and life and soul by the mighty power of God, the Holy Spirit. Oh yes, we see how this great blessing can be wrought out in our hearts. It is by the Lord Himself directing our hearts into the love of God and into the patient, as it says in our text, waiting for Christ. But finally, I want you to notice here the outcome of a right heart before God. In the case here of these believers at Thessalonica, a right heart would help them to be obedient in the matter of separation from sin and evildoers. Look at what is said in the very next verse, verse 6 of the chapter. It says, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he have received of us." Also, right heart would help them to be steadfast in God's work. Look at verse 13, "But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing." Also, right heart would lead to blessing in their life. Look at verse 16 of the chapter. It says, "Now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all." And that speaks there of the blessing of God upon their life. Child of God, the outcome will be the same in your life as well. My, you'll be encouraged in your life of separation from evil. You'll be encouraged to be steadfast in the things of God. You will know God's blessing upon you. My speaking of those of a right heart before God, and the psalmist says in Psalm 24, verse 5, it says, "He shall receive the blessing from the Lord." The Lord will bless you. Also, a right heart will mean that your fellowship with the Lord will be encouraged. And your zeal for the service of God will be invigorated. Yes, you'll be encouraged to be patient in prayer, to be patient in God's work, even to be patient in suffering and in tribulation. And then you'll also be encouraged to wait patiently for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself in power and in great glory. Think of the words of James chapter 4, verse 8. It says there, "Be ye also patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Believer, no matter what happens in this world, remember this, that Christ is coming back again the second time. He's coming in power, coming in great glory. He's coming to put down all ungodliness and all unrighteousness. He's coming to take His redeemed people to be with Himself into glory. Think of what Christ said to His disciples. John 14, verse 3, He said, "I will come again, receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Christian, in light of the sure return of Christ, May you await his coming with your heart directed, as it says in our text, into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. And let me say that if you are still unsaved as you listen in this evening, then the way for you to know the love of God and the patience of Christ filling your heart and indeed changing your life, the way is that you be saved. And that means you confessing your need before God as a lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinner. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, the Word of God says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. That means in salvation, you must confess your sin before the Lord. It means you trusting in the blood and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of all of your sins before God. Think of what is said in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. It says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. To be saved, you must put your faith and trust in Christ. You must rest upon the blood of Christ alone for the cleansing away of your sin and the salvation of your precious, never-dying soul. Yes, to be saved, you must confess Christ and your need of Christ. The Bible says, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Over in the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, and the verse 26 there and the verse 27, Christ gives a wonderful promise to all whom he saves. He says these words. He says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, cause ye to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. What a promise. Therefore, unsaved friend, come now this night by faith to Christ. Trust him as your own and personal Savior. And then your heart also can be directed into the love of God and into the patient waiting of Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening. May God bless his word to your heart this evening, for his name's sake and for his glory.